Chapter 1. The Bible. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Okay. Charles Dickens' renowned words were used in relating a tale of two European cities during the French Revolution. But those words seem as applicable today in their description of a modern tale of evil, which seems to be intensifying against that which has always been recognized as good. In the 21st century, bountiful evidence of the best of times is observed in the proliferation of technological developments and medical advancements, and in the accessibility of widespread information, where such benefits are beginning to have worldwide application. In contrast, indications of the worst of times are manifest in the deteriorating biblical-based society, which reflects a decrease in personal accountability and spirituality, and in respect for others and for authority. Along with personal decline comes an increased entitlement culture, and the ever-growing incivility and diminished integrity leads to subsequent misbehavior and crime. Adding to turbulent times is a global war on terror, which aligns a radicalized Middle Eastern philosophy against a traditional Western civilization. Such a worldview clash is based upon a completely misunderstood biblical teaching known as Abraham's Covenant, or the Abrahamic Covenant. Understanding this biblical doctrine allows an insight into the East-West clash and into the deterioration of modern society, a deterioration which fulfills those prophetic words in Isaiah 5:20, referencing those that call evil good and good evil. In this present climate of crumbling culture, how does an understanding of Abraham's covenant enlighten the perspective and allow heaven to heal the heavy heart? Well, let's start in the beginning by looking at the societal centerpiece, the Bible. Many early biblical scholars and reformers worked courageously to facilitate societies that could blossom when built upon a biblical foundation. William Tyndale is credited with the translation of the Hebrew and Greek Bibles into the English language Bible, the King James Version. David Rosen, a rabbi of the Chief Rabbinate of Israel, speaking of the film Fires of Faith, the coming forth of the King James Bible, said in the film that there is nothing that compares to the classical English literary resource as the King James Bible. The closest things, of course, are the works of Shakespeare, and we do relish and treasure Shakespeare, he said. But it doesn't speak to our deepest commitments, as obviously the Bible does. Phrases such as "let there be light," "seek and ye shall find," and "consider the lilies of the field, how they grow," are among those universally recognized expressions of Tyndale's artistry as he translated the Holy Bible into English. Tyndale, influenced by John Wycliffe's Bible and by contemporary reformers of the 16th century, such as Martin Luther and John Rogers, wanted the common man to have the scriptures in his native tongue. At that time, only the clergy was allowed access to them. In 1408, a decree, known as the Constitutions of Oxford, made it illegal to translate the Bible into English, punishable by imprisonment, torture, or death. Still, Tyndale worked tirelessly, at his own great peril. He persevered in his translation of the English Bible, which he believed should be in every home. He is among the most revered and beloved biblical scholars of all time. Eventually, he was betrayed, charged with heresy, and died a martyr's death by hanging and burning at the stake for spreading biblical truths among his fellow citizens. Although Tyndale is honored for his contribution of the English Bible to the church, scholars agree that some translation errors do exist. In addition, there were likely some errors that crept in or read into the verses due to personal biases, prejudices, or long-held church doctrines of that time. Some principles or doctrines may have been omitted due to misunderstanding or judging them to be confusing or irrelevant.